Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert. Here we go. Happy fun Sunday. All right, sponsors today, Belleville Meat Market, McLean Trailers, Texan Roofing, Boyd's One Stop, Mainstream Marketing, and Safe Floor Marine Flooring Systems. All right, looking at weather, it's 63 down on the island in Galveston this morning. That's very nice. And looks like a mix of clouds and sun today, high of 73. Winds will be northeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then tonight, cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy after midnight with a low of 68. Winds will be northeast 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, starting off your Monday, mainly sunny sky, high of 77, east-northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. So beautiful weather settled in on us, and take advantage of it. It doesn't last every day like this. Looking at tides today, we're on four tides. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We had a high just occur at 3:46 a.m. We have a low coming up at 9:44 a.m., then a high at 2:41 p.m., and then a low at 9:32 p.m. Looks like sunrise this morning, 7:22 a.m., sunset this evening, 6:47 p.m., and then our moon phase is 85%. We're almost to our full moon of the month. Looking at current conditions right now, offshore the buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have a north-northeast wind at 18, gusting to 25 out there. Air temperature is 70 degrees. And at Eagle Point here in the bay system, the air temperature is 68. Water temp has dropped down to 72. That's a plus. And northeast wind 17, gusting to 21. And barometric pressure, it's fairly high this morning at 30.24 inches. All right, there's your weather and tides, and let's move over to the Tri-Bay area and talk to the Hammer this morning, weigh in with him, see what's up. Glenn, good morning. What's up?
Good morning to you, Captain Mickey. Not much. The winds, compared to yesterday, there's hardly any wind. That was a blow, man. That was a heck of a blow. We got 10 miles an hour out of the north right now, and 59 degrees down here in Surfside Beach. Coolest day of the year so far.
A little cooler than Galveston. Galveston's 63 right now.
That's what I heard you say. It's showing 59, so I'm going
to go ahead and believe it. It's not 85 in the mornings. I'm enjoying that.
I set off my smoke detector already. I lit the heater for the first time. And well, it's a window unit, it's a combination air conditioning heater, and all that lint and all that stuff gets on there, elements, and I had to run around to find the smoke detector and get it shut off. But anyway, it sure made it feel, took the chill off the house.
Oh, I hate
this morning.
That sound they make too. I blew a candle out one time. I got one in my den. It's so sensitive. I blew a candle out, and just a little bit of smoke off of that set it off. I'm going, this is crazy.
Yeah, but they can save some
lives. Your life.
That's right, buddy. Starting Friday, after I talked to you, Captain Mickey, we had a lot of south wind, you know, right ahead of that front. I mean,
yeah, we did.
It was blowing south, and I mean, white capping, but headed from right to left, man. All I could see is big white caps out there rolling over in that gulf. And, man, it turned that water into three shades of chocolate milk. All anybody that knows the Tri-Bay area, and it's like a broken record, the bays are so shallow, they dirty up real quick. Mm-hmm. And that was the case on Saturday, buddy. I mean, yesterday it blew. I mean, it blew. But south wind on Friday, blow, and then it turns around and blows from the north. So our little bay system's quite shook up right now, and it's going to take a little bit of settling. It's going to actually, I have trips for the next 4 days in a row if I can get them in. And I'm sure hoping I can get a couple of them in anyway. But it's getting kind of rough around here, man. I think I've been off for about a month. It feels like it. I heard you say 72 degree water temperature, but that, hey man, come on,
that's about an 8 degree drop so far. That's good. I'll take it.
You bet, buddy. We're waiting on that, I guarantee it. But anyway, yesterday we had a solid 20 mile an hour north wind all day long, and I mean most of the day. We had gusts up to 33 miles an hour, and I mean it was huffing. It didn't lay back till real late in the afternoon, just about dark. It might have died back to 15 or 13 or something, but it didn't quit blowing, but it kind of eased back after the sun went down yesterday. But anyway, our bays, like I said, three shades of chocolate milk down here. It's going to take some cleaning, and the cooler the water is, and it cleans a little quicker than that hot water anyway. So I look for it to be good. I'm gonna go out tomorrow, and we're gonna throw some plastics and some bait if I can get some bait. That's been the situation down here. The bait camps are they're not getting too much locally. I'm seeing trailers behind their trucks, and they're going somewhere else to different bait systems and doing their shrimping and bringing it back here because it's just scarce in the area. For the bait shrimp. I mean, I'm not talking about eating shrimp, but anyway, that's what's going on down here. It's kind of iffy, and it's quiet, man. You know, after that blow on Friday, that didn't keep the people off the bay. I mean, there's nothing to keep them home anymore. When it was blowing 40 out of the south the other day, there was more vehicles down here. I don't think anybody works anymore, honestly, Captain Mickey. It's kind of like a holiday down here every day. There's traffic, there's people, the boat ramps are packed, the bait camps can't hold. It's kind of like a weekend. Every day is like a weekend. There's that many people not working. And,
man,
in fishing.
I wonder where they get their money.
I know somebody must have got them on Saturday.
It costs money to go fishing, especially with the price of gas.
I mean, they're getting paid real good not to go fishing right here. That's what I'm hearing anyway, is the government's paying them to stay home, and they're taking advantage of it, man. So you can look around at the workforce. You can look at the airports. You can look at the hospitals, man. People are retiring. If they got a retirement coming, they're taking it. I mean, it's crazy right now. Crazy old world we live in. But we're going to make it through here. And Surfside, it's not too much growth going down. There's a lot of new houses coming up. And We're a little small community that's getting bigger and bigger. Not the volume of the area that we live in, but just the quantity of houses and stuff that are popping up, man. Everywhere they can put a house, they're popping one up, it seems like. Lots of buildings going
out my way. I mean, it's just...
lots of people.
How and much it's just exploded.
It is. And like I said, the world isn't growing. It's the same size, but boy, do we have a population. And man, oh man, they're slowing it down here. I'm telling you, you can't go in a grocery store. And don't even think you can go up to Bucky's sometime around lunchtime. You're talking about a place to try to get in and out of.
It's Lord that way. It's that way all day long. You can't even pick a time that's convenient to go to any Bucky's. They are very crowded.
Know, that's right. That's right. But what's happening on your end, man? Have you been wet a line? Have you even been out?
No, I've. Me and all my buddies that live out there by me, we went on a crabbing mission last week.
And nice.
Putting up crabs for the, you know, for winter gumbo, cleaning mm-hmm. them up real nice and putting them in these big time heavy meal Ziploc bags, stacking them in there. And
now you're talking.
Getting all three of us as freezers stacked up. And
well, how about that? Y'all
just
did
having
pretty
fun
good
doing that. You know, it's something different. And
well, how did you catch them?
With traps.
Oh, with crab traps. Okay.
Expensive
not with
crab
a,
traps,
not with a
yeah. Those crabs, I'd probably been better off just going to Boyd's and buying them. But it was fun. It was something to do. It's crazy. We've never done it before, and we're just laughing about it. It's
nice. Yeah, hey, got you out of the living room anyway.
Yeah, one
it?
Of my neighbors go, all right, man, said, so I guess you're going to retire from guiding and become a crabber now. I said, no, that's crabbing stuff. No.
It is.
I said, even though fishing's tough up this way, I'll stick with fishing.
I've got a Captain Josh, a buddy of mine. He crabs down here in all these bays. I mean, he has them from the
Brazos. My hat's off to a guy that does that for a living. That's work, man.
Yeah, he could be doing offshore trips, and he chose to do the crabbing, man. He's got two guys he keeps on the boat with him, and he keeps behind that steering wheel, and he keeps that motor going. And they circle around one of them traps and pull it in and drop another one out while they're rebaiting it and emptying it. And it is. It's a heck of a lot of work, man, that they go through. He called me up it was a couple of weeks ago, but come on, meet me at the boat ramp, man. I got your crabs. And he was more or less paying me back from opening day. His boat was in the shop, and I volunteered my boat to go put his traps out for him. But anyway, Captain Mickey, he gave me a dozen of the biggest old pretty blue crab. Oh my goodness. And I hadn't had any in a long time. So new potatoes and corn on the cob, and Melinda and I had us a little feast, buddy, for a couple of days. But anyway, hey, the bait camps, it's kind of an iffy deal down here. Like I said, they're, you know, if you can find some shrimp, you're probably going to have to get here early to do that. They do still have the yellow flags. So I know the bait camps are holding croakers. And that sort of thing. They've got some croakers and mullet and mud minnows, but the shrimp, the white flags are kind of iffy down here, you know. You ain't finding very many of them. If they do throw a white flag up, it only lasts for a couple hours. Like I said, with all the fishermen in the area, it don't take long for the bait camps to sell out. You're going to pay $20 a quart for live shrimp, $10 a dozen for croakers, $5 a dozen for finger mullet or mud minnows. So bring your pocketbook, buddy, if you're a bait fisherman.
It costs money to do anything these days, bud.
With that water temperature drop, Captain Mickey, I look for a little push of those white shrimp to start getting out of here. Going to see more flocks of birds working. If you got a good set of eyeballs on you or some binoculars, scan the bay, because I've already seen them working in different parts of the bay. And it's a good way to find some fish if you're paying attention. Like I said, man, there's no shortage of fishermen down here, but I have not heard one report from anybody of all my friends and all the people I know that have boats and stuff. I'm just not in this area. Maybe they're catching them in Matagorda or somewhere. I know they are, but I'm just not getting any reports from anybody down here, buddy. Nobody wants to volunteer any information. Maybe they're keeping it
all
secret.
Maybe it's good. That's why you're not hearing anything. They're catching them.
there you go. All right, buddy. Let's see. Great fun Sunday. Happy fun Sunday to everybody. And, man, if they come down in the Tri-Bay area, just bring your patience with you, because it's a lot of traffic and it's a very small place. You know, beachfront's wiped out. The bay's going to be wiped out for a couple of days. I could have went today and I went ahead and told them, no, that's too soon after that blow. Let's see if it'll settle sometime today.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a little wind today, you know, 10 to 20. So tomorrow, you know, through the week, it'll be really nice. And then we got another little bitty front coming in Thursday. So we'll be good.
This one, I like this kind of a front, buddy. When it blew, I don't know what time it blew through, late Friday night or early Saturday morning, but buddy, you could feel it. You could hear it coming through the little cracks in the windows.
Yeah.
That's about all I got for you today, boss.
We didn't lose much water with it either. It was more due north with a little northeast in it, and not enough northwest in it to blow the tides out. So
they've been bowled up around here. Okay, buddy, 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday, everybody, and Captain Mickey, I appreciate you, buddy.
All right, see you, Hammer. Take care.
Yes, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
Later. Well, you know the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to do all your shopping for quality cuts of meat, not to mention great wild game processing. They're located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290, owned and operated by the Poffenberger family for over 40 years now. And right now we're in the middle of bow season. Rifle season's right around the corner, and no better place to have your wild game processed than at the Belleville Meat Market. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. You can't miss it. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. 3-lane drop-off system when you drop off your wild game. Makes it fast, convenient. They unload it for you. They track it all the way through the process from front to back door. And excellent packaging. You can't beat the quality. 28 great flavors of pecan smoked sausage to choose from, not to mention their award-winning summer sausage. Other products like their deer burger, and their pan sausage, jerky, dry sticks, you name it, they do it and do it right. Check them out at BellevilleMeatMarket.com. Call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit beside him.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 418 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down Rockport way now. Let's check in with Captain Tony G this morning. Tony Gonzalez. Tony, what's up?
How much, Captain? How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Good. Nice and chilly this morning.
Feels good, man.
Yeah, it does. Had to kick on my little heater here in the RV and do like Lynn, go turn off all the fire detectors or smoke detectors, because it did that same thing for me. But no, it was a good week this week. Stayed busy. Fished 4 times. I finished up Sunday with a plumber. I had them on Saturday. I told you about them. And they had his helper and the helper's wife with them. And so we took off over to Aransas for day 2. And it wasn't much better. I think we had, 2-2 on Saturday. And everybody else had 1-0 at the dock. And then Sunday went over there. We had 4 trout and 2 reds. And the same, other guides pulled up to me over there. And like, man, how'd you do it? I had 4-2. And they were, the same. It was just tough. And so Monday, I had Juan, and Juan is that traveling nurse I had 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we fished over in Aransas. So we decided to come back over here, and I want to go check Cedar out because I hadn't really fished it. And Travis had a couple of okay days in there, and nothing to make him want to go straight back there. So I went and checked it out, and the tide was just ripping out on Monday. I mean, it was. I needed shrimp under a cork. I still had croaks, and the crabber, he gave me about 20 crabs that ran across him on the bay. I talked to him that morning. Like, yeah, come find me. And no one had any shrimp on Monday. So that just wasn't working. That current was just moving too fast, and they weren't staying up in the grass. They were just kind of getting spun out and stuff. Ended up scraping out 4 trout for them. And I had Tuesday off, and Wednesday I had Robert and his buddy, and they came, and where did we go? We went back to Aransas just because I'm just going back and forth, There's nothing to tell it, y'all. I'm not on anything in any one specific place. It's making me want to go straight there, It's just kind of a little greener over there than over here, and that's fine. So we went over there and back to Aransas, and then Wednesday it was ripping. That wind was blowing really hard, and an area I was fishing. It's open bay, but where I could see it, I could kind of run there and poke through, see if it was, two white caps or anything like that. Like, it's windy over there, but I don't see any white caps. Let's try. And I'm able to set up on top of a reef, cast off into a drop off. And that turned out good for them. They had 7 trout, 3 reds. And we stopped on the trout spot. The guy on the front of the boat was catching them all. And you want to switch? No, I'm fine over here. And went red fishing. The guy on the back catch them all. So one guy, he caught all the reds. One guy caught all the trout. But that worked out nice for him. And had Thursday off. And then Friday was my fun day, I guess. I mean, they were all fun, but I had a lot of fun Friday. I had Roger Allen and his son, his 2 grandkids. And they're 6 and 9, I believe, is the older one. And the little 6-year-old Mick, last year he came and he sat between Grandpa's legs. Grandpa would help him reel and stuff. And that went by, we were done like 2 hours. He lost interest pretty quick. No, on Friday, the little one, he stuck to me like glue. Everywhere I went, he was just like right there with me. And he was just a good little boy. And that's what I tell my wife. I was like, sometimes there's kids. And
again,
I don't blame him.
Makes a lot of difference from last year to this year. He's an independent little booger now. He's different.
That's how old are you, buddy? I'm 6. And, like I said, he looks littler. He looks about 4, but he's 6. Well, I'm going to sit back here with you when we're red fishing. Okay. So, he sat there with me, and then I might go up to the front to help him. Well, then he'd follow me up, and he'd come back. And I mean, he was just focused, as I told Lisa. I was like, some kids are into the live well too much. I don't blame them. They want to play with fish. They're always looking back at the fish that they just caught in the cooler. Like this one, he wasn't that way. He was focused on me, staying right there to my side. And if I needed a bait, then, you want to help me get a bait? Then I'd ask him. Then he'd go help me get a bait. It's like I haven't had to. And the grandfather was just giggling, like I was like, he's a fisherman. I was like, we got him now. He's like, yeah, he's doing good. So they only ended up with 3 trout and 1 red. And I didn't move around a bunch. I'd just been catching some trout in there, and it just didn't go off for us. But the little one, he caught the biggest trout that day. And then last cast for our redfish stop, he caught a 26 and a half inch red.
Dang.
Yeah, and on that one, I'm sitting there. I'll set the hook for that little kid like that, but he's sitting there right there. I was like, we're waiting for this to run. Oh, it's running. I was like, it sure is. Let it run a little more. Okay, here we go. You see what I'm doing? I'd set the hook. Are you ready? And I hand it to him. And, of course, I have to help him hold the rod because I almost pull him into the water. And I'm just trying to hold the rod. It's hard to hold the rod because as they're turning it, they're trying to spin that rod on you. No, he did everything. I didn't reel at all. And you could just see that fish just going back real slow. And so I told Lisa, it took him so long to get there that when he got to the boat, you can just net him. He's tired. He's not going underneath the boat or around the engine or anything like that. And he was so happy. I pulled it up. Give me 5, buddy. He gave me 5. And let's use my leg as a measuring stick. So I pulled it up, and that fish came up about to his belly button. And that was just so fun, when you get a little one like that, when you really hook them, on the way back, I want to sit back here with the captain. So Grandpa's laughing. Wow, he really likes you. Yeah, he stuck to me. So he's holding the steering wheel for a little bit, about a mile, smiling. Dad, look at us. And he turns back. He's driving. So we get back to clean fish. The last couple of years, I had these redfish stickers and trout stickers that I was passing out at the fishing show. And then when kids come fishing or whatever, I give them some. When he come up, he's like, do I get a sticker? Oh, buddy, you remember that from last year? And Dad's like, you do have stickers? So that I do have stickers, but I'm out. He's like, he kept asking me all week about a sticker, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, yeah, I do have them, but, it's just cute when they're that little and get it, and like it.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to the relationship me and this little boy might have as he grows up. And one's name, he was Jake, and his brother was Jet. And usually when they tell me a name or something, I always come back with something on Jet. I was like, your name's Jet? I just didn't, it just didn't hit me till later. And then he was going to go play baseball. They were going to run back to Bernie. He had a baseball game that evening. And then I thought after I got home, I was like, well, he's going to be a professional baseball player. He's going to be Benny the Jet, like from, right. And I was like, what position you play? I play shortstop. Like, oh, you're good. Best fielder on the team plays shortstop. Yeah, I play shortstop. And so that was a lot of fun. And I got Roger coming back. And then we finished the day out there. Okay, guys, let's come out here to deep water. We'll drift a little bit, see if Grandpa and Dad can't catch anything on their plastic. And they both did. And they were getting a bunch of bites and stuff. So we redid that drift. And they were just little bitty dinks and stuff. But then we started seeing skippies coming up to the surface. But he's coming back, like I say, in a couple of weeks. We're going to go, just him and his friend, and go do a wade fishing trip. Because, like I said, he's fished with you, Plog, Webb, everybody. But he was, bringing me the kiddos and stuff for the bait. But
right.
Other than that, I had yesterday off. Thank goodness that win. And I seen Charlie posted up. He did catch some redfish yesterday and that nasty stuff.
I didn't see it. I didn't look at Instagram. I didn't look at anything yesterday.
And your poor Astros, that turned in. I was like, they're on Fox, and I
they got
in,
off
oh,
to a really nice start. Two grand slams in a row, man. First inning, second inning. I'm going, did this just happen?
Wow,
man, that's digging a hole. Hung in there, and the fans hung in there. I couldn't believe it. And
it seemed like the bats started waking up towards the end. Maybe that'll give them some momentum for the next game.
Yeah, I think who hit home runs in the ninth? Gurriel and Castro. Man, I wish Maldonado could bat like Castro, and Castro could catch like Maldonado. That'd be your good catcher.
Dude, I think you were right. I was watching. It's like it looks like they are getting beat by that one guy because he was catching all of Altuve's pop outs, and then he had a
man,
home run.
Hernandez.
Yeah,
and, I mean, why even throw to that guy? Why bother?
And yeah, he roped it pretty good yesterday.
He's on fire right now. I mean that guy that baseball's got to look like a cantaloupe coming at him. Can't miss.
Where's he from?
I don't know where he's from. I think he used to play for the Dodgers.
Oh, okay. On the side note, really, really
he's
sad
the
to
kind
hear
of
about
guy
Robbie.
That you hate, but you'd really love to have him on your team.
Right.
Man.
But, I got the call from Monty, like, on Monday. And, about you sitting down. Yeah, what's up? About Robbie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's who's missing? He's like, that's who's missing. I'm like, they mentioned somebody. They didn't say anything.
Well, and, he
was Robbie's
a little
neighbor.
Closure for the family and everything out of respect
of
before we, mentioned it this week. And let me throw this break in here, and we'll come back and talk about it a little bit about Robbie. Hang on
with
me, Tony. I'll be right back with you. And, folks, McLean Trailers, these are the folks that have been serving our community since the 1950s, they're located right off of Interstate 10. They're between the Uvalde and Normandy exits right there on the north feeder. They have a complete showroom. It's full of parts and accessories for all your trailer repair needs. And a lot that's full of utility, lowboy, gooseneck, cargo trailers, not to mention their great boat trailers. And I've trusted McLean's for over 40 years with their fine staff and product line. They're also a repair center. So if you have a trailer that needs going through, they'll go through it, make it like new again. If not, they'll sell you a new one, and they'll stand behind it. They build them right here in Houston. They have two plants in Louisiana. Check them out on the web at McLeanTrailers.com, or you can call their shop at 713-675-2761. You can trust the name. It's been serving our community since the 1950s. That's McLean Trailers.
I never saw the end in sight. Fools are kind of blind.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 right, Outdoor Show, 434 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Tony G. All right, Tony, we're back. Thanks for the hold.
Yes, sir. So,
Yeah, it was a bad deal, and it just, you know, it just...
Shocking.
It is, and it just makes you think twice about going fishing by yourself.
Right.
You know, with the... And nobody was more boat savvy and, you know, aware of his surroundings than Robbie. I mean, he was, you know... And
plus, confident, right.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot younger than me and the rest of us, but it's just... Weird things happen in boats. They always have. They always will. And we'll never know truly what happened. I mean, we can all speculate. But, I mean, he died doing what he loves to do. I can tell you that. You know, he's gone. And there's not, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it to reverse it. Wish we could, but. He right. He had a couple of tarpon flags flying, so he had caught a couple. What he was doing was scouting for his people coming in, you know, to fish with him. That was on Wednesday when he came up missing. His spot app that he has, his wife, you know, was watching him on the phone. He was out there fishing, naturally. And,
right.
He disappeared at 11:34 a.m.
11:34, because, yeah, so I was looking at
that spot device on him. I guess when he went overboard, you know, the water deactivated it, killed it.
Yeah, they're only good. I think it says 10 meters on them.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at them, and I promised Lisa that a long time ago, and I'm out there by myself. There's a guy, he went missing, Canyon Lake. And when he went missing, you know, Gulf Coast fisherman, but was just going to go do like a run on his boat before he brought it down here after repair, test run. Mm-hmm. So I was going to tell her, I never go on test runs. You know, I'm going fishing because, of, you know, that guy went on a test run and came up missing. And so I always wear an inflatable when I'm by myself, you know. And
always.
I haven't in the last few times. You know, I'm being lazy. I'm going to start putting it back on. But then I looked up, you know, how can I attach one of those PFDs? Because sometimes you get out Cedar or San Antonio Bay, you won't get a signal. And you can at least send a text message to somebody if you're broke down or something to come get you.
Right.
But, yeah, on that spot, it sends, you can pick where it sends either a blip back to your spouse or whoever can watch you every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes or every 30 minutes kind of deal.
Right.
And, but y'all who didn't know, and, you know, y'all, I wasn't a friend of Robbie's, more of an acquaintance, you know, I mean, if you went to Robbie and asked him who Tony Gonzalez is, he probably wouldn't know who I was by name, but, oh, Monty's buddy. Oh yeah, I know you're talking about the Mexican guy. Yeah. Named Monty. And, and thing about Robbie is, you know, I can't find one serious moment to talk about him. You know, every time we'd motor out, you'd hear him yelling, "Monty!" And you'd look over, and he's got his two middle fingers pointing at us. And
that's Robbie.
And 90% of the time, it was like a holiday
very
weekend.
Very animated.
Yeah, very animated, very boisterous, yelling at us, and then throwing the F-bomb at us when he's doing that to us.
Yeah,
first thing we both
Robbie,
do
man.
Is we turn around and we do it back to him. And as soon as he do it, we're always doing it back to a yard full of women and children because it's like a holiday weekend and barbecue. So we do it. We're like, gosh, dang it, Robbie. He made us flip off those kids and women, and he's laughing at us like, you know. So that's Robbie, you know, he's just crazy, funny. You know, Tiki's taking it pretty hard. I feel bad for everyone on Tahiti Drive and around there that know him. And, you know, prayers for him and his girls and his wife. And so I had a talk with Travis the other day. Travis called me on Friday and, hey, you know, what are you doing? How you doing? We're doing, I was like, it's slow. I got the little boys and stuff. And he got a call from a buddy. His exterminator was over here at the reserve. And the reserve is a fancy neighborhood here. And it's all kind of like Harbor Walk. Big concrete bulkheads and everything all around. And there was a deer that was in there trapped. And it was swimming back and forth. And his buddy's like, "Yeah, we're here, but she doesn't have a boat." So Travis's like, "Well, I'm off today." So he took off, and he's always got the boat attached to his truck. He's like, I dumped a boat in. He's like, I left the truck there in the ramp, and I just took off because it's just about a mile down the shoreline. And he's like, I pulled in, and as soon as I pulled in, that deer went under. And he's like, I reached down, I grabbed it, I pulled it up on shore, and I'm trying to give it a Heimlich. Like, he's like, water's coming out, it's puking, and it collapses. He's like, so I start giving it CPR, comes back alive, and then it dies.
The deer?
It's like this. The deer, and it was a spike, and he said the game warden was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was a female game warden. And I said, like, did she give you the deer? How'd you know she did give me the deer? I was like, well, yeah, because he died and it's bow season. She's like, yeah, she gave me the documentation. So I butchered it up. But then that's why I had to talk with him. I was like, look, you know, you're talking about Robbie. I was like, look, Travis, don't quit being yourself, you know, but you got to have these safety talks every now and then as we're going into hunting season. You know, we play with things that are dangerous. We play with guns. We climb deer stands. We climb feeders. You know, there's been times, I told him there's an old guy one time that, you know, didn't wait for his buddies to get to the deer lease and was going to start working on feeders. And when they got there, they found him impaled on one of the stakes that they used to hold the feeders down, piece of rebar.
God.
Guys get out of their truck to get in the deer stand and they have a loaded gun. One guy pulls it out of one side, the other one pulls out the other side. He shoots his buddy. Or when you're shooting a over under shotgun, say you're shooting a 20 gauge and you decide to go to your 12, and you still have a couple of shells in your bag, you'll drop a 20 gauge hole down in that deep barrel. You'll look, there's not one. You'll add a 12 on top of it. You'll blow off your hand, your face. That happened, you know. Like this, like, you know, part of every deer camp, you have to have a hunt master. You need to have a hunt master. Bill was
People
our hunt
just
master.
Need to slow down when they're doing things. You know, if you're, if I, you know, I'm around people all the time, and, you know, you always have that one guy that's always in a hurry doing things fast, and he makes a lot of mistakes doing that. I mean, it, and when it comes to fishing and hunting, you just got to slow everything down. What's the old saying? Slow is smooth, and smooth is fast.
Right. And, I know that.
You get in a hurry, you make mistakes, and just, I don't know.
Or when you're fatigued, you make mistakes, too.
And you do it
too.
So much, you know, in repetition, you just take things for granted, and that's how mistakes are made. And
sure.
I'll tell you, just one
even
wrong
a, even
move.
A car mechanic will blow his face off every now and then with a battery, you know.
Yeah.
He jumps a battery a million times, but sometimes that happens, you know. So, just, you know, we do dangerous things. Have a talk every once in a while. Remember how precious it is, and then have fun. Always have fun.
Well, I'll tell you, but when you're in the boat by yourself, make sure you got that inflatable PFD on, or any kind of PFD. It doesn't matter. It'll save your life. And wear that kill switch.
Well, I guess
I still catch myself, you know, if I, you know, I'll start up to just kind of move over a little bit, not get on plane. When I get on plane, I always remember to put it around my wrist or clip it on my jacket or whatever I'm wearing has a little tie on it. But
it
when you're by yourself, you got to do things like that.
Sure.
We're all guilty of it.
I almost drowned one time, or I saw how I could have drowned and died just trolling in the river with my little bitty John boat, trolling crankbaits. And I caught a line where someone had tangled up on a tree. And I backed up and pulled my lure off the line. I'm able to back up down that line. I have one of them lure knockers. I throw it down with a string, and it's like a grappling hook, and it'll knock that lure off that stump. So I grabbed that line, went to it, threw my thing down there, and I scored a free one. Daniel, my buddy, was like, man, you just got your free lure. Like, yeah, it happens all the time. A little later, I did it again. And that second time, I was like, oop, I got another line, and started getting cocky. Well, that line was like a 10-pound braid. And I guess whoever hooked that stump dumped their whole spool. Well, as I'm backing up on that line, that braid got in my prop.
Oh,
and it wrapped around my pinky finger and started, I mean, had it not have been 10-pound braid or 20, I think I popped the tensile strength of it because it felt like it cut down to my bone. Had it been 20, it would have pulled me down right on that prop.
Sure,
and I would have died on a 15-horse motor with – I'd have been stuck right on the bottom of that boat, you know. And
yep.
I couldn't hit the kill switch fast enough or nothing, you know, and you're going to go, you know. So Lisa was like, oh, my gosh, you could have died. Yeah. I was like, I was with Daniel. He was on the front of the boat, but – had he got me out of the water off the bottom of that prop fast enough? I doubt it, you know.
God most boats now have hydraulic steering on them, the old cable steering. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been running a boat when one broke. and that motor automatically torques, and that boat's going to take an immediate turn. And if you're not holding on, you're out of that boat, buddy. And that,
right.
I saved a lot of lives by not having that kind of steering in boats anymore, but it's that's what we do.
Well,
anyway, Tony, I got to run. I got to go to Naylor now in Freeport. But if somebody wants to call you and come down to Rockport and go fishing, give them a number, bud.
Please do. You can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain. And I'm kid-friendly. Bring them on.
You got it. All right, man. Well, you have a good one, Tony. Always good talking to you, and be safe.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain.
You got it, man. All right, that's Captain Tony Gonzalez down in Rockport, and talking a little safety this morning, which you can't talk enough about it. All right, let's go to, over to Freeport now, and let's get hooked up with Captain Jeff Naylor. I'll just call him Naylum. What's up, Naylum?
What's going on, Captain? How you doing this morning?
Oh, everything's good, buddy. I guess you hadn't been nailing them lately with all this wind we've been experiencing.
Well, yeah, you know, when Hammer comes out talking about white caps out in the surf, you know, you ain't going to find me out there, I guarantee you that. Yeah, so been a little slow boogie for about the last week or so. You know, we got the fish good. I mean, I'll tell you what, previous to this, though, I mean, we had several weekends, you know, in a row. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not upset about it a whole lot, you know. It's actually
right.
Pretty nice, but especially with this cool weather, holy cow, man, what a great turn of events this is. The you know, I had planned on bringing my boat down and right now to do an overhaul on it, which I do every year, every couple of years. And, you know, when they open snapper season back up, I kind of got tied back into, you know, leaving it open and going ahead and waiting a little longer to do my rebuild. But the unfortunately, I had a whole bunch of maintenance items I had planned. So it this whole weekend has kind of been just a maintenance, motor maintenance weekend. So, and I tell you, man, I started out Friday, and, boy, I was sweating bullets. I mean, I was just soaking wet, you know. And by yesterday, I don't think I broke a sweat all day yesterday.
No.
So, this morning, I feel good and cool. But, yeah, just, you know, of course, I run Honda just like you. And you know, I'm doing a valve adjustment right now, which, you know, I think is every 500 hours or so. But mine are up there a little bit. I've got over 1,000 hours on my set right now, which, by the way, are for sale now. But but anyway, the valve adjustment really helps with horsepower and get up and go and stuff like that. So, and it was actually quite a bit out this time. So that's because of that I took the time to do it, you know. But, yeah, those Hondas, you know, just case in point, you know, you got to change those or adjust the valves about every 500 hours. I mean, it's not going to, you know, if you don't, it's not going to kill your motor or anything like that. It's just you're going to get a little bit more performance out of it each time you do it kind of thing. Eventually, it'll get to the point where it will lose a little bit of horsepower over time, you know, thousands of hours. But anyways, man, I tell you how good, and I don't always try to promote anybody on the show or anything, but let me tell you how awesome Fernando is from SCJ. This guy, you know, I was putting back my middle valve covers last night, and there's two little boots that go on the sleeve on the where the spark plug is in. And, one of them was kind of pushed out a little bit. Well, I took it upon myself to try to cram it back in and use the tool a little too sharp and cut that boot. And so I called up Fernando immediately. Of course, he said his birthday's tomorrow, and he had just made a mixed drink, sticking it to his lips. And I said, Fernando, you got it, man. I'm stuck. I got a trip on Monday. I got to make sure I got to run it tomorrow, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And he put down his drinks, ran up to the shop, put these two boots, you know, out where I can go find them, and went back and enjoyed his birthday party. What
man,
kind of guy is going to do that?
Nobody. Hey, I've dealt with them all. You know, I've been around a long time, and there's nobody like him and his crew. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, they just, they'll do anything for you, and they're on the spot. And man, they've taken such good care of me over the, man, I've been with them a long time now, and I treasure that. they really take care of you.
And man, you know, and it shows. Every time they grow like crazy. I mean, you see how many boats are in that yard right now? I mean,
oh, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
My head would be swimming trying to keep up with all that.
Oh, I tell you what, man. I mean, you know, good night. You know, and it's so great in business. You know, you always want to be successful. That, you know, you want to push. Everybody's got to make money, go. But, you know, it gets to the point you start thinking, oh, man, it got a little bigger than I expected. Oh, shoot, you know, it's a little more than we can handle. I mean,
well, when you're good, that happens.
Exactly. When you got a good product, you got something good to sell, people are going to want that, you know, and that's what they got, you know. So, anyways, I'm out and about running, going, doing that. Fishing report-wise, there was a couple guys that went down, went snapper fishing on Friday. A little bumpy, they said, but you got to go
bumpy.
Very far. A little bumpy, yeah. There's
little
no doubt about
bumpy
that.
There, boys.
Oh, yeah. And with this cool front, man, I can only imagine what it's going to do to that bull red bite, you know, in the surf. Holy cow. I heard a friend of mine down here, their oil-filled outcast, they went out about, I think it was last weekend, last Friday or something like that. They caught 98 bull reds in 2 hours.
I believe it.
98. That hurts my back thinking about it. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. My shoulder's already weak, you know, but caught 98 in 2 hours. Holy cow.
Just
and,
two guys?
So that was. No, it was a starter, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it'd have to be. It'd have to be multiple people winching them in. Yeah, because that's I remember one time in a Redfish Cup tournament, we got on a school that was just, for 3 days, we were catching 50 to 80 reds each morning. By noon, you were just exhausted. You didn't want any more, you know, fishing with light tackle and catching those big slots. And I couldn't even squeeze my hands together the following week for 3 days. Golly, they were all butchered up, handling all those nasty, rough fish.
Where was that at, just in curiosity?
In Trinity Bay. It was one of the Galveston Redfish Cups.
Nice.
Blaine and I were duking it out. We were on the same school. We found that school together, and he was fishing with Robert on his team, and Wayne Webb was fishing with me on my team. And we just said, hey, we're just going to go at it. We're gonna go after each other the whole weekend. Because, I mean, we had some other schools, but these were just like mega slots. You know, you were going to get 17, 18 pounds out of them every day. So we chose to. And it was a huge school. I mean, we could have put another 5-10 boats on that school, and it wouldn't have hurt it. We just got lucky and found it. The bay was real fresh. Everybody was running to Sabine and running to the jetties. And we found it up in the top end of Trinity Bay in chocolate milk fresh water. Had to use gulp and fish 3/8 heads and get it under the fresh water and drag it on the bottom, and it was stupid, absolutely stupid.
Oh, wow. Man, it's so cool how that works out sometimes, you know, it, that fresh water, like that.
Mr. Magoo could have found this school. We happened to be running around the bay and looking for some signs like that, and just both of us stumbled up on them at the same time one day pre-fishing. We thought we'd died and gone to heaven. So we finished first and second and took the money and run, baby.
That's right. That's what it's all about, man. You know, I've seen them. You know, we got there from time to time. I don't promote, you know, we're set up for offshore fishing. And I've got nothing against, you know, bull red fishing is here in Freeport. Basically, what that entails is we kind of go out about, 300-400 yards past the jetties and jetty at the end of the J Rocks and kind of head south and park it. You know, we start marking bait, stuff like that, throw an anchor out. There's no science to it. I mean, it's just, you know, we're about where it looks good, you know, stop, start chumming, put some lines out, start ripping and rolling. And So there's no real science behind it, but man, I'm telling you, in October-ish and stuff like that, I mean, like you're talking about, you can, and when they're running hard like that, it's like a big old school of copper, you know, just cruising around.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
see them. I mean, yeah, you got to see them. Get ready, everybody. It's about to happen.
That's amazing.
It is. It truly is. And it's a sight to be seen. I wish I was, you know, I have no videos of it either, which is terrible, but I really wish I could. Hey, next time I'm going to try to make sure I get that. Of course, the water's always murky. It's a little hard to see, more or less.
Yeah, it's sure hard to throw the rod down and pick the phone camera up and
yeah.
when you're in them like that. That's what you carry a cameraman with you for.
That's right, Naylor. That's right.
I got to run. I got to get out of town here, bud. But if somebody wants to come to Freeport and do some offshore blue water fishing with you, man, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Yes, sir. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013. Go to our website at stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life. And, man, we kind of look forward to everybody staying fishing through this fall and maybe the first part of winter season. So give us a holler.
You got it, my friend. All right, Naylor, glad you got your boat going. Got all your maintenance done. It's time to put some hours on them now. Put them to work.
That's right.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate
Nothing
it,
runs
Captain.
Like a Honda. All right, man. See you. Okay. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor in Freeport. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.